talking about rose fertilizers for tropical plants. Bonite's got a rose shield if it's not an energy. If you're fighting insects, as we've talked about with the warm winter and wet winter, it's an insecticide, miticide, and disease controller. Their Bonite's Rose Shield is sold all over the state, including Summerwinds and Glendale. You can, when you start seeing signs of it, just apply it. And it can also be used not only on roses, but flowers and all indoor plants. You can also find it if you're in the Tucson area at Savano, out on South Houghton. It comes in ready to use, ready to spray, and also pint-sized concentrate if you've got large garden areas or a large amount of plants you're trying to protect. You can get it if you're in the Prescott area out on Iron Spring Roads at Waters Gardener. Bonite products are family-made in America, and Rose Shield can be used to protect your plants from bugs, disease, critters.
And yesterday I had no less than four or five people with baggies full of aphids on hibiscus, roses, ash trees. So the bugs, you know, it's spring, the bugs like it too.
So what, when they come in with bags like that, what do you send them home with?
Well, we have a number of things. The first thing we ask them is what they're, you know, what, obviously it's great because we know what they're on.
It's not,
if it's on something edible or, you know, or a fruit or vegetable, then that might dictate something different. We ask them how many they have. You got one little plant, then a ready to use spray is probably more what they want. If they had a guy with a big ash tree with aphids all over it, he needs a pint of concentrate in a sprayer. So, you know, then you ask him, well, how are you going to get this sprayed up in the tree? You know, you need a good sprayer that's going to reach that. So number of products, the triple action from Fertilome is still one of our favorites. It's similar to the Bonide product. It's one of those combination sprays. This time of year, those are great, especially on roses, because powdery mildew's out there. You know, with the moisture and the warm days and the cool, moist nights, you get a lot of powdery mildew on roses. So the combination sprays are great, too, like the Bonide that you just mentioned. Works great. So that's always, boy, a great tool if we can just tell people to bring samples, bring that weed, bring the plant, a leaf or two of the plant that has the bug, bring the bug, of course, then we can make sure you get the right product that fits what you're comfortable doing. You know, I had a guy the other day, I showed him something. He goes, well, then I'll have a bunch of this left over. I don't want to store anything. I said, well, then here, just get this little bottle, this little dust that you can shake on there. You probably use it all up in a month or so and throw it away. So
listeners are going to get tired of hearing us talk about it, but until one day they're going to be out in their garden and they're going to find it, and then they're going to be like, oh, wait, they were talking about that. What was that product again? 1 in 10 will remember that, and then we'll get the rest will be calling in the program.
That's all right.
But that's
away.
What we're here for.
That's right.
To help you through it no matter what stage you're in. Tim in Scottsdale on Square Foot Gardening. Go ahead, sir.
Well, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. I have 9 squares of Mel's Square Foot Gardening. Have had it for late last summer and all of this winter. And my question is, do I have to put in more Mel's mix or fertilize it in order to get good yield for the summer crops?
Well, let's take the second one first. Fertilizing it, yes, you need to continue to fertilize. You know, when you buy a good premium potting soil like a Mel's mix, it has some fertilizer in it, and it will get you by for, you know, a month or two here. But we don't get enough rainfall to fertilize things, you know, through the whole season. You're going to have to supplement your fertilizer. And you certainly want to do it as a pre-plant as well, something like bone and blood meal together worked into that raised garden would be perfect. If the soil has kind of shrunk down, and as it does, it gets dry and it kind of dehydrates, and you may need to top it off with a little Mel's mix or a really good potting soil added to the Mel's mix to get your soil level to where it's the right depth.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And when you talk to Mel, his dream and his goal is to teach everyone to grow their own food in these square foot all over the world so that they can be self-sufficient and not have to worry about food supply. And in his teachings, he says, you know, if you would just compost what comes out of there, you'll never need to buy another bag from me again. Now, that's not always perfect, and it doesn't always work that way. We usually add an extra bag or two at every one of our planting seasons. But if you've got room to compost, take what you pulled out of there, even leaves from trees in the yard, grass clippings. You know, you can make your own after a season or two and have your own compost add into that every time you plant.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just have to have a good place to do it. And you know, there's a lot of ways to make compost. A garbage can with some holes drilled in the side of it to let air circulate through. A lot of times the cities, their old little dumpsters, they'll almost give those away. Those make really good composters. So there's some ways to do it, even if you don't have a place you can do it on the ground. And those things actually make it a quicker process because they get hot inside and they trap a lot of that heat. So there's a lot of good ways to do it.
During the news break, y'all were talking about the Catalinas, and I didn't really hear the conversation, but Christine's got a beautiful view of the Catalinas from Oro Valley. Let's see what we can help her with this morning. Go ahead, Christine.
Good morning. We listen to your program all the time, and I have learned a lot, even though I've been a gardener all my life, and I grow a lot of hollyhocks. I have 5 new ones this year, and their leaves are all turning yellow. And Jennifer said that some leaves on her plants are turning yellow this year, too.
Where are the yellow leaves at in relation to the plant? Down at the
bottom?
Down
at the bottom. Yeah, the big ones. Okay. And I keep trimming them off.
Okay. Well, typically when old leaves turn yellow, that's the plant has used up the nutrients out of that leaf as it's grown and bloomed. You may need to just do a little supplemental fertilizing. The guy
yeah,
with the hibiscus.
Yeah, that's what I heard you say earlier in the program. So is just regular old Miracle-Grow okay?
You know, all fertilizers work.
Okay.
The ones that are left in the box in the garage shelf are the ones that don't work.
Or that are over-applied from lack of reading directions.
Well, okay, yeah, they all work. You got to follow directions. So
Okay. Use
the fertilizer that you're going to find you will use. If it's something like Miracle-Grow that you mix with water and apply, great. If it's a slow time release like Fertilom Start and Grow, if it's an organic like Dr. Earth or one of the organics or bone and blood meal, but you got to use them to make them work.
The downside to Miracle-Grow, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's just kind of a short-lived
That's
product.
Right. Yeah.
It needs regular frequency.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's because it's so highly soluble, it doesn't have much residual. It doesn't last long. So there again, if you like to get out there and fertilize, if that's what you like to do and you find that as a way that you'll be more consistent, great. But I don't remember to do things that well. So I like things that last a little longer, like a granular, a time release, or a slow release, because I can't even remember the last time I fertilized, but
well,
I did.
I have so many chores. Anything I can do to spread out the frequency of it so I can stay on top is my reason for using granules.
Yeah, but you got to do it, and they don't work unless you use them.
1-888-767-4348. As we clear a line, that opens a line for you. Greg in Peoria, welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning. Quick question, not a dilemma. I have an area of about 19 feet long, and I would say 5.5 feet wide, right next to my garage, which faces south-southeast. And I want to put some upright shrubs there, but I don't want a hedge-looking. I would like to put maybe 3 or 4 shrubs in there. Any suggestions? I have yellow bells in the front.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how big can they get?
They can go probably maybe 6-7 feet. Then they would start to, hit the roof. Well, not hit the roof, but just be by the top of the where the roof comes down.
Okay. Well, there's the orange version of the yellow bells. That's what I have on the south wall of my house is a big old planting of orange jubilees or orange bells to kind of shade that wall. That's a good one. Good old common myrtle or Roman myrtle would work really well for that. Japanese privet would be probably not a bad solution. There's a whole bunch of things that would get, 6-8 feet on a southeast exposure and would work just great.
You know what I'm a fan of, and it's not always the right application, but getting over to like an Arizona trellis and getting a fabricated metal stand and then putting vines on it. Vines seem to be a lot easier to take care of, a little less watering, a lot. You don't have to get out there and properly prune them. You can get that hedge out and just whoom, shape it up, and it'll recover in no time.
You know, one of my favorite vines, a tangerine beauty cross vine, they're in full bloom right now, and if you had some trellises of that out away from the house just a little bit, that's the nice thing about the Arizona trellis. They come with a bracket already on them, so you can mount them right to the house. It holds it out away from the house a little.
That airspace is just
so you got
one
more airspace
insulator
in there
against the sun and cools off that.
Yeah,
and
they come in different colors. We sell lots of those, and
they're
a great product.
Cover the whole wall of the house and not just, you know, the first couple feet of a shrub.
Well, you can, because you can mount them, you know, up a little higher. Yeah, you don't need that trellis clear down on the ground.
I tell you what, I wouldn't plant it up next to the house because bougainvilleas are extremely messy when they slough off. But man, I was on the 101 at about Deer Valley yesterday, and those bougainvilleas are
okay. Well,
just
define messy.
So bold. Well, I had one.
You have goats. You got chickens. You got rabbits. You're worried about a few bougainvillea leaves?
You know, I had it next to my garage on my old house, a bougainvillea. Uh-huh. And I just got so tired of every time I opened the garage or went out there to work it. I've got piles of these bougainvillea.
Blowing in your garage?
Yeah, just piled up in every corner. And I had a saw, a table saw, a chop block, my little woodworking shop, and it just...
That's what blowers are for.
It was like a
they're so light, about 2 seconds with a little blower, and it's out of the garage, and you blow it over into your neighbor's yard.
Oh, and then I got dust all over the top of my tools. So if it was next to a door or window you frequently came in and out of, I would...
Or a swimming pool.
Anyway, but man, that's some boastful colors.
Oh, they are just in their glory right now, aren't they?
Oh, man.
Yeah, the bougainvilleas are beautiful.
So let's bring Scott into the conversation and see what he's working on this morning. Scott, go ahead, sir.
Hi, how you doing? I was making a little hedge just about 3 feet high, well, about 2.5 feet high on each side of my walkway. And I was using rosemary, and on one side it's doing great. It's just exploding with growth. And they go both. But on the other side, they're really struggling. They die off. They both get the same amount of sun and everything. And when they die, they don't completely die. They just, they half die. I mean, like, some of them, they'll start turning yellow, and then they just, it's just kind of, so I don't know what's, I'm fertilizing them the same amount. And so they don't just completely die. They just, like, maybe 75%
okay.
of the plant.
Now, these are going up a walk on both sides of a walk. Is that what you're saying?
It's the upright rosemary.
Right.
Like a little sidewalk, a little sidewalk going up to the house.
Going up to the house, and you've got them on both, either side of the walk, and one side is doing this, not the other.
Yeah, just one side.
What is on either side of that? Is there lawn on both sides of that, or is that different?
Yeah, same. Both have grass. Just regular grass.
I would check the watering, and see if one side isn't watering differently, even though you say it's coming on the same and all of that. But if you've got lawn sprays on, spraying both sides, maybe you're getting more overspray on one side of it. I would go out and turn everything on and just start checking lists off. Okay, lawn sprays. That one's getting wetter than that one. That one's not getting as wet. Those types of things. There's got to be some reason, and it may even boil down to, hey, when they built the sidewalk, they buried a bunch of stuff under that side. I don't know, but there's obviously something.
The painter
something
cleaned
different.
His bucket there before they did the landscape backfill. Yeah,
it happens. So it might be you need to do a little extra excavating and add some new soil in there. But I kind of think it's something to do with the watering and the way the lawn maybe oversprays or doesn't overspray on the one side.